welcome back to another episode of the Lift Run Dab podcast. I'm your host, as usual, Philip Gonsalves, and for the time being, I'm running solo. Who knows? The plan is obviously to try and get some decent guests lined up for future episodes, but a lot of the time it's really just difficult trying to sync things up and make sure that we have guests available, good quality guests available, with matching schedules, etc. In this previous incarnation of this podcast, which was called the Fit Dad podcast, managed to have some really good guests, and I'm thinking to try and get them back on board to try and find out what they've learned through fatherhood and through life over the last couple of years since I last had that podcast going. I know myself, I'm learning every single day as much as I possibly can about all things lifting, running, and especially dadding. But that being said, there is one guest so far who I have always wanted to do a podcast with, and since we last had the Fit Dad podcast, has actually become a father, and I believe he's very keen to get on the podcast as well. Good friend of mine, Tom Betts, so hopefully we can arrange that next week rather than just listen to me waffle on every week and get some experience from other dads and other walks of life. But the main thing I really want to jump on to talk about today on today's podcast is just the power that we have, and possibly the power that we don't realize that we have, and how powerful the small actions that we're making every day are having in our child's lives and molding the human beings that they're growing up to be. Now, what I mean by this is some things that we might think as an off the cuff comment or a flippant comment or an action that we're not really too invested in with our thinking can have such a positive or negative effect on how a child views life and men in general, really. So I know for myself, being a father of two girls, I know that I am the standard that they are perceiving men to be. So, I mean, with that kind of responsibility, every action that I do, every action that I take, every word that I speak, whether that be to the girls directly, while the girls are watching me, speaking to their mother, to strangers, to my mum, whoever it might be, the actions that I'm, and words that I'm speaking as a man, is really moulding what my girl's view of a normal man is. So I am the main man. I'm the only real man in their life. Obviously, I have my brother and Charlotte's brothers and Charlotte's dad. They're the only other men that they really have, I guess, that much contact with. So for us, mainly for me, but for them as well, it's a responsibility to make sure that they are being given the best example of what a man should be. And I mean, I'm not saying this from a point of, look at me, I want you to see how great I am. That's not what I'm trying to get across to my girls at all. What I'm thinking of is not necessarily today, tomorrow, a year from now. I'm thinking 18, 19, 20, 30 years from now, when my girls, they might be, let's say they're in a relationship with a man, and they've seen me behave in a way that they think is acceptable. And now let's say my behavior in general has not been acceptable. Let's say I'm really quick to anger, I am quite cold, not very loving, don't really give any support or affection either to my girls or to my wife or to my mother. Now, having grown up around that sort of behavior, they're just going to think that is a normal standard behavior from males. So they are then going to go into their own lives and think, okay, so my dad is cold, quick to anger, unloving, unsupportive. That's what men are like. So when they do go and choose to find a partner in their own lives, they are going to think those sort of things are acceptable when a male displays that kind of behavior. Now, on the flip side, if I can be the loving, supporting, calm, controlled father and person that I want to be, and I can display that no matter the situation. Let's say I'm under stress, I'm getting wound up from all sorts of angles, whether that be from the girls misbehaving, the economic crisis that we're all in, stress at work, whatever it is. I should always be in control of my emotions enough to not have to take that out on other people. And the girls should always be able to see that they can come to me for love, support, and I can be the man that they need me to be. Now, that's not to say that I'm a man who's not going to have an edge to me. You still know I'm going to be the fastest and strongest dad in the playground, and that's for certain. I don't care who's in that playground. But the old school view of a man who was just not too involved with his children, not in touch with his emotions, not able to control them probably as well as he should do, just bury them or really lash out and get angry. That's not what the modern man is or should be. So the modern man for me and the modern father is a loving one, is a supporting one, is strict when he needs to be. Because that's one of the hardest things that I found to be as a parent, is to be strict with your children. Like it's easy to just say, we won't punish them, we won't teach them a lesson of how they should behave, because it's not nice to have your child crying and whining because you're having to put your foot down and do some things that you might not want to do as well. I don't want to see my girls, like, I'll give you a good example here. So just before we went to the Ironman, I went to pick Lily up from school, and her teacher had asked me to come into the classroom, which is not actually usual. Normally I just pick Lily up and we're on our way. So I wasn't really sure what was going to go on, but turns out her and her friends have been messing around in school, and I don't know, too in depth with the story. Basically, they blocked the toilets between the three of them. Excuse me. And I mean, I was mortified, because I didn't really know how to react, because I've been my 34 years old, and oftentimes when I turn up in the playground or to pick up the children, I feel so young anyway. I feel like I've just left school. So for me to have a teacher come in and tell me that my daughter's been misbehaving, and I'm like, I've never dealt with this before. I don't really know how to react. Obviously, I wasn't happy with what happened, but so we got Lily home, and I called my mum, because I don't have all the answers. I said to her, I mean, what do I do in this instance? I don't want to be the parent that's screaming and punishing all the time and making my child feel bad. I want to build my children up, not tear them down, no matter whether they've been naughty or not. So I think a lot of the language that might shoot to my head initially is probably not the best language to use. So it's a case of making sure you're in a calm, or for me anyway, in a calm and controlled state before thinking about. So let's say, for example, I know when Charlotte and I might get into an argument, and I prefer to take myself away from the situation first, think about things before I say things in the heat of the moment that I'm going to regret. So I will take time, I won't respond initially, think about what's happening, and then I'll go and respond when I'm in a calmer state. And that's the same thing in parenting as well, I suppose, is that it's not a case of just overreacting, underthinking straight away, and saying things that are going to probably hurt, and probably hurt for a longer time, and be more imprinted in that child's young life. But as I was waffling around again, so I spoke to my mum, and she was like, look, she's probably going to have been told off at school enough as it is. You need to really say to her, look, you're disappointed in how she's behaved, you know she can behave better, and tell her that you know this is not how she knows how to behave. This is not what you expect of her. This is not what she should expect of herself. So where we're going with this is, I could have really blown my top and gone mad and pushed things further than they needed to go. But what we ended up doing, one of our biggest mistakes we make as parents, and I think my wife Charlotte will hold her hands up with this one as well, is we make too many threats that we don't follow through with. So if Lily or Willow's been naughty, we'll say, well, you're not going to have your tablet for the weekend, or there's no TV tonight, or you won't come to movie night on the weekend. And then we never follow through with it because we just actually want them to be as happy as possible, and we want to spend time with them doing these things. So when Lily had actually been naughty at school, we both said to each other, we need to actually follow through and make an example of this moment. So it was Halloween sort of time. Her cousins, who she absolutely adores, were having a Halloween party, which obviously she was invited to, and we put our foot down with this one, and we said, no, you will not be going to the Halloween party with your cousins. We didn't like doing it, but we felt it had to be done to really say that your behaviour is not acceptable, it's not what we expect of you, it's not what you should expect of yourself. So she saw her sister dress up, go off to this Halloween party. She had to stay behind with me, and we got some gloves, got a bag, and we went litter picking around the village. And I think that's the first real time we've actually followed through the punishment. And I don't want to say since then it's been instantaneous that she started behaving better, because it hasn't, because she's a child and she's learning so much about regulating her emotions, etc. But it was a time where I felt proud of us as parents, because we did the hard thing. The easy option would have been to take her still to the Halloween party, but instead we picked litter and taught her a lesson and definitely matured ourselves as parents. But I have totally gone off subject, which is pretty normal for me. But what I was trying to make this whole podcast about was how important the language and the example, the language that we use and the example that we set our children, how important it is for molding what they perceive. For me, it's for what they perceive a man as, what they think is acceptable in a way of being treated as a female from a male, and as a potential wife or partner to a male further down the line. But somehow I managed to make a really quick podcast last 12 minutes. Hopefully next week I'll have a guest on for you and we can dive into some really informative dad chat. But just a reminder before I jump off the airways, I guess this will get published in the next couple of hours. And I'd just like to remind you all that the Lift Run Dad program launches Monday. I will be jumping on the program myself. It is a fully online program, so it combines lifting and running within 5 workouts for the week. All the workouts are designed to be completed as efficiently and effectively as possible inside 45 minutes. Every single workout is delivered to you via an app with exercise demonstrations as well as a full walkthrough from me. So you will have absolutely everything you need to absolutely nail all the lifting and running you need to do. And hopefully, along with my waffling on and some really decent guests, the Lift Run Dad podcast, a bit of a tongue twister, will take care of all the dadding for you. I'm really hoping that with this Lift Run Dad program that we can also build a community of dads on a platform like a Facebook group, maybe even a WhatsApp group. I don't know if it will go into that or if it should be too annoying getting notifications flying off left, right and centre. But really keen to just build something meaningful and really make a change to as many dads as possible and try and help them with my experience that I have in the fitness industry for the last 17 years. And obviously, the more dads we can get together, the more I'm going to learn about being a dad, the more value I can hopefully provide, not only to everyone listening to this, but to my children. I'm definitely not the sort of person that thinks I have all the answers. I definitely don't. I'm far from it. That's why I still call my mum, ask her for advice. I'm reading as much as I possibly can about being the best dad possible. And also, we're off to a course next week, Charlotte and I, which is all about how we can help children to regulate and deal with their own emotions. So really looking forward to that, and really looking forward to relaying any information that I pick up from that to you guys to hopefully make us all better dads. But I will see you in the next episode.